Good afternoon, Packers fans. Aaron Nagler here with your Packers Daily Chat, coming to you live on the Cheesehead TV social channels. Can't say happy Monday, but it's a Monday. Hope you're all doing well. Hope you've all had some time to digest everything that happened yesterday out there in Denver for the Green Bay Packers. A lengthy injury list. Lots of news in the last kind of day, less than about everything that happened. Obviously, Micah Parsons, the news was confirmed, done for the season with a torn ACL. Parsons took to social media, talk about his return next September. That is clearly the target. I saw a lot of folks yesterday talking about how he was going to miss all next year, etc. There's nothing about this that would lead me to think that he isn't going to attack this with the ferocity he does each and every week when chasing quarterbacks. Who knows what the timeline actually ends up being, but you have to think there's a decent chance that you see him back around the same time we saw Christian Watson. Probably gets placed on PUP to start the season, then maybe comes off and has that 21-day window, and then he's back, hopefully, at some point halfway through the year, chasing down quarterbacks. In the meantime, of course, this does mean the Packers cannot replace him, but they have to start working in the aggregate to get some of that production, maybe not back, but on the field, given his absence. And that is going to come down to guys like Rashawn Gary, Lucas Van Ness, Baron Sorrell, and company. There's no doubt that this is a monster loss for the 2025 Green Bay Packers, but everything they want to do is still right in front of them, starting on Sunday in Chicago against the Bears. Of course, that task becomes harder with Evan Williams most likely going to miss that game. We got no official updates today. Matt LaFleur did not speak with the media. There was no availability today. You would think probably we'll hear from coach and the players tomorrow. Everything on a truncated schedule because of the Saturday game. But Williams did say in the locker room afterwards that it wasn't as bad as a knee injury that he suffered in college. There's reporting that he will most likely miss a week. Could potentially be back for the Ravens game, but we'll see. The other encouraging news is the report from, I believe it was Spoon, saying that Zach Tom has no structural damage in his knee. That's clearly very, very good news. But again, have to suspect he probably won't be out there on Saturday night in Chicago. Going to have to jumble things up yet again along the offensive line at right tackle. And then finally, the other big headliner, of course, is Christian Watson. The report, first one I saw, was from Bill Huber saying that there's a possibility he could play on Saturday, which is clearly excellent news if you're a Green Bay Packers fan. Definitely feared the worst seeing Watson clutching his shoulder as he walked off there in Denver. But the fact that he has avoided major injury is excellent. Very, very happy to hear it. We'll see if he's actually able to go on Saturday. That does feel like a tight turnaround. It sucks that the Packers have a game on a short week after a game where they suffered as many injuries as they did. But this is encouraging news for an offense that will have to find answers if Watson is unable to go. It's never as easy as just insert receiver here. Clearly the Packers know that. But having Jaden Reed back for a couple games now, got to think that he will be a focal point of the offense working from the slot against the Bears. Obviously, Matthew Golden got a little bit more involved yesterday in Denver. Most certainly have to think that his target share goes up in this game in Chicago. Clearly going to be relying on Romeo Doubs a bit more and Dontavian Wicks, who was almost MIA yesterday, save for a really unfortunate, I guess you call it, drop over the middle there that resulted in an interception. Going to need him to get back into the form that we saw on Thanksgiving in Detroit. All of these guys are going to have to come to the fore. Clearly, Jordan Love going to have his work cut out for him, but I also think this is a game in Chicago where they will have to lean on Josh Jacobs, who was excellent in Denver on a limited snap count. Hopefully another week removed, he's able to open it up just a little bit more, be out on the field a little bit more, because they are going to need him against that Bears defense. But pulling back, looking at everything, I hope everyone's had a moment to kind of take a breath and recalibrate, not necessarily their expectations, but their thoughts from yesterday's game and what it means going forward here in 2025. Packers are still in the thick of it, still have an excellent chance of not only making the playoffs, but winning the division. There are no excuses. And as Matt LaFleur always says, no one's going to feel sorry for you. So just recollect, reconvene, figure out a new way of working, and go beat the Bears. That is job number one. What's going on, everybody? Good to see you all. Hope you're all doing well. Good. I have lots of people already mixing it up here. Holy cow. Before we get going, you guys know I got to give a shout out to our friends over at ThetaCare. With ThetaCare Orthopedic Care, championship-level care is delivered to every fan and every athlete. Whether you're dealing with a nagging injury or recovering from surgery, the ThetaCare team is ready to help you heal smart and get back in the game. Because in Wisconsin, folks play hard and recover harder. ThetaCare, proud sponsor of Cheesehead TV. Okay, folks. Let the healing begin. Let's do it. What's going on? What's on your minds? Kyle starting us off with a generous super chat. Thank you, sir. Nags, I will never truly understand the hate some Packers fans have for this team. I think they don't understand the definition of the word fan. Beat the fucking Bears. Go, Pack, go. Kyle, sir, salut. That's well stated. It is always interesting when losses happen, injuries occur, and some, quote, fans' reaction is to bitch or complain or point the finger of blame at whatever their favorite target is, whether it's Matt LaFleur or Jordan Love or Halfley's approach, whatever, right? I get it, and that is kind of part of the gig, right? You know, not everybody fans the same way, and some people use it as an outlet in a negative way. I can't say that, you know, that's invalid. That's their reaction. That's their actual, you know, feeling, thought, what have you. That's fine. That's for them. But yeah, man, for me, that's just not how I come to it. But again, that sometimes that's just how people are in their relation to the game, their relation to the team. Doesn't make it any less valid than maybe how you and I see it. It's just different. Janice563, thank you for a very generous super chat. Thank you, sir. Hi, Aaron. So can you explain why when one of our guys gets hurt, the team seems to not be able to adjust? I know you have game plan, but you have played without these guys before. Can you not call a play from a previous playbook? Well, it's not quite that simple. I mean, it's not Madden, right? And it's not just losing one guy, though I know Watson's absence really does tend to put a wrench in things. But yesterday, I don't put it down to losing Watson, although it did seem like the offense really kind of got stuck in neutral once he went down. It was much more, to my mind, about Zach Tom going down. When he went out, it was towards the end of the first half, and the Packers are in hurry-up mode there, and they can kind of mitigate the pass rush because they're going tempo and keeping the Denver defense off balance a little bit. But once they got to the second half, once that injury to Watson occurred, you're now dealing with an offensive line that's having real issues with the defensive front, and you don't really have your patented deep threat that you've spent all week practicing with. Yes, you should be able to adjust on the fly, and they did a bit. They got Jaden Reed a little bit more involved. You saw Golden catch a few more passes. But I can't begin to describe how much work goes in during the week. This is why we always talk about practice time and meetings and why it's so important. Yes, there are other ways you can turn and things you can run, but more often than not, the vast majority of plays that you see on a Sunday have been worked on in practice. And just calling plays that nobody's run in the course of the last month or so, maybe they ran it back in training camp or what have you, it's not as easy as just kind of dialing it up and everyone knows their assignment and knows what they're supposed to do. Yes, it is the expectation, because they're professionals, right? And there was install back in the summer. But you want to try at least to adhere to your game plan and things that the majority of your players have run that week and have practiced that week. It's not an excuse because you're not wrong, right? Because a guy going down shouldn't completely derail your offense. But I do think, again, it's much more about the combination of who went down and when. You know, once the lack of complimentary football also killed the Packers, because once the Broncos were able to kind of just pin their ears back up front against an offensive line that was having major issues, it was a wrap, man. It wouldn't have mattered what plays they were calling. That's why we always talk about, you know, in the offseason, when people talk about who do I want them to draft or who do I think they should sign in free agency, I'm always talking about the offensive line, always talking about the fronts because that's where the game is won and lost. You can have a million great plays called up. It doesn't matter if you can't block it. And they couldn't block it yesterday, especially in the second half. That to more than any play call, that's what yesterday was about. Hova Zach, thanks for the super chat. Chin up and we're on to Chicago. I still like this young group of players we have. I think there is a lot to be excited about still. Go Pack, go. Thanks, Nags. Thank you, sir. And yeah, I think there is a ton of to be excited about. There is a very young core still on this team with plenty of potential. And now it's going to be asked to grow up right in front of us. You know, a lot of guys like a Matthew Golden, Savion Williams maybe gets back into the mix this week. We've seen, you know, Jaden Reed and how effective he can be. He's still a young player. You know, there is a lot of opportunity here for guys to step up and contribute big time. You flip it over to the defensive side of the ball. You got Kingsley and Igbari fighting for a new contract. Well, here's a perfect opportunity to show your worth. You know, there are opportunities galore here. Hopefully these guys seize that moment and that opportunity. Janice, thanks again, man. Second part to the question, do the players not know the entire playbook? Do they have an understudy type thing going on where when a guy goes down, the next guy knows the play? On offense, they seem lost without Watson. See, I very much disagree with that last point. Again, they just couldn't block it. And yes, the guys know it, but again, they spend all week working on these plays. And if you're not part of the major main rotation, maybe you're being asked to run stuff that you didn't work on all week. Now, again, not really an excuse, but it's really difficult. No matter what the play call might be, if you're running a 15-yard in route and you get to the top of your kind of route and you're about to round off into that hard corner and you're trying to hit the in cut and Jordan Love's on his back or running for his life, again, it doesn't matter. You can practice all day and have pitch perfect execution when it comes to the 7-on-7 stuff, but if Jordan Love's off rhythm because the interior of the offensive line is broken down again and he's running, hoping to try and just avoid getting killed, it's not because guys are running the wrong routes or in the wrong spots. It's because they couldn't hold up front. I'm sorry to keep repeating the same answer, but it is 100% the case. You know, but yes, guys are expected to know whatever their assigned position is. And sometimes at receiver, particularly, guys are more fixated on certain roles. Although Matt has talked about before how much, especially if you're a rookie like Golden, they want you to concentrate on one position before they start kind of exposing you and teaching you all the different spots at the receiver position throughout the offense so that you know each and every adjustment, each and every kind of read of the coverage, leverage from the defensive back, how you're supposed to break when that happens from your, if you're the X, the Y, whatever, the F, you know, those things come along in time, but there's only so much time on task, so to speak, in practice each and every week. They're not able to run every single guy at every single position, every single play in the playbook. Yes, you're supposed to know it. No question about it. You've installed it in the summer. It is your job as a professional to understand those concepts and be able to deliver when your number's called. But it's a hell of a lot easier to deliver when you've run it all week. Just that's just fact. E4, what's up, man? Caleb Williams had all day to throw versus the Browns. Looking forward to RD not letting that happen. F the Bears. It's kind of wild when you think about the Cleveland front, though. They did a nice job of blocking them up. No question about it. To me, I'm not even worried about getting like quick pressure because I don't think that's a realistic goal from this group now without Micah. What I'm most concerned about is not letting Caleb Williams get outside the pocket, especially to his right. He killed us going to his right. He killed the Browns going to his right. Do not let this man out into the flat, to his right in particular. Make him be a pocket passer. And like you're going to give some stuff up that way, I have zero doubt. Like, you're going to be zoning it up probably a lot, and I don't mind, you know, letting him hit a few. But do not let this man escape the pocket. That is a number one job this week. And I suspect you're going to see a lot of zone because they're going to want vision on Caleb, and probably some of those underneath guys are going to trigger when he gets outside the pocket so they can force him to throw the ball probably sooner than he'd like. You cannot, will not, should not allow him to get outside the pocket this week. Got to play contain. Brockman, what's up? The NFC just got way more complicated with the injuries on the Rams and Packers. Next man up league. Hope the Packers embrace the suck and step up. Yeah, that's the thing. There's so much opportunity still out there. And look, I know Bears fans are thumping their chests this week, which God bless them. Well done. You took care of business. But this is a huge game on Saturday. Packers win this one. They're right back in the driver's seat. And they can absolutely win this one. So, yeah, the seeding, NFC, all of that still in play. But nothing matters more than beating the Bears on Saturday. That's it. Underline, italicize it. Dustin, thanks for the super chat, man. Packers finished the season 16-4-1. Book it. Go, Pack, go. Once again, salut. Like where your head's at there, Dustin. Mike Witt with an Eeyore appearance. What's up, man? Hey, Nags, I know this is a football stream, but the news about the Reiners puts everything in perspective. The injuries suck, but life goes on. RIP, Meathead. Yeah, that was a real tough one to process. As down as I was about the Packers yesterday, and then you see those headlines start to come out, I really haven't even processed it to this point. I know there's been plenty of news about it, and I don't really want to touch on it here. Like you say, this is a football stream, but I mean, the man did create some of the all-time great films and had some of the greatest performances when I was a kid growing up. A titan, a real titan, and an incredible human by all accounts, an activist, a man I really admired. So, yeah, it's very, very sad. KD, what's up? Still sad, but we ball. Random Packer, Tim Hauk. That's great. Still sad, but we ball. Tim Hauk. That's great, man. Phenomenal. Braden, how are you, sir? I swear if I see Rashawn Gary jogging in Chicago, all right, all right. Let the man cook. Let the man work. Let Bane happen. All right? Wait, how's that going? Wait a second.
You think Rashawn Gary is jogging? He's simply setting up Caleb Williams for a sack later in the game.
Something like that. How about that? My beer's not empty enough to really do the Bane thing. I'll work on it. Chip, what's going on, man? If LVN was ever going to break out, now is the time. Season isn't over, boys. Go, Pack, go. See, I don't even need LVN to, quote, break out. I just need him to be effective, productive, and consistent. I don't need a superstar, but he needs to contribute. That, more than anything, is what needs to happen. Just do your 111th. Be productive. Be consistent. He doesn't need to do too much. That's how you get in trouble. Do your job, LVN, and he'll probably get plenty of opportunities to do so. Mike Witt, what's going on, man? With no Tom and probably Wiley, why not sign old man Mercedes back from Denver's practice squad? Just a thought. Yeah, I know Andy Herman put that out there too. I mean, they could, but he'd been sitting out there all year and they didn't really show an inkling to do so. I think it's highly, way more likely that they bring up Dabney from the practice squad. But, hey, man, crazier stuff has happened. I'm not saying it's impossible, but really don't see them going that route. Don Vito, how are you, man? 24 hours later, still fucking sucks. That said, I actually believe this team plays better as an underdog. Plus, we're most likely going to see Chicago in the wild card. Matt LaFleur needs to trust Jordan fully now. I mean, I agree with that last part, but I also think the best way to support your young quarterback is to run the ball. Look what happened once they got behind and they had to throw it yesterday. Not great. You know? Look, and I get it. It's on the road at Denver spot in there. They got the best pass rush in the league. Like, you're not going to have that every week. I get it. But the more you can run the ball, the better it is for your quarterback. Mike, thanks again. When players have ACL tears, do they have surgery right away or wait? Just curious. Like, can Micah get surgery tomorrow? And has Kraft had his surgery yet? I believe we did find out that Tucker did have his surgery. He's actually back at the facility. I think it was last week, 2 weeks ago. He was on a social video that their digital group did. So I know Kraft is at least back in the mix, so to speak, in the building. As far as Micah, yeah, he can have it right away. But oftentimes what usually happens is there's swelling immediately after the ACL tear that needs to go down before they do so. I'm sure we'll get some kind of update once the surgery happens, probably in a day or two, maybe a little longer. It's going to be different for everybody, but yeah, that could happen in the next couple of days. Jeff Jones, thank you, sir. I love what you said, Negs. You got to let it play out. I mean, look, again, it's not fan police time. I'm not telling you what to think or feel, but that's just, for me, that's how I approach it, right? And I understand the people that threw in the towel as soon as they saw Micah Parsons on the ground, right? I totally get it. Half the fun of this shit is like your team, your favorite team, doing shit that no one expects them to do. I tell you what, right now, no one expects the Packers to win the division, let alone go on a run. So let's go do that. I ain't doing anything. I'm going to be watching these games. I can't wait. Abdul, what's up, man? Hey, Aaron, how do you think the last three games go? I got to be 100% honest, man. I don't care about the last three games. I only care about the next game. I think if the Packers play a clean game in Chicago, they win it. Now, look, lots got to fall into place, right? But that's an eminently winnable game, even with all of the issues, all of the injuries, all of the guys that are going to have to step up, all the reserves are going to have to play big, strong minutes. No question about it. Not saying it's easy, but that's a game they can win, and they should. So, yeah, those last two, man, we'll talk about that when we get there. Just beat the Bears. That is all that matters right now. Travis, how are you, buddy? I'm proud of this team. I say lucky to have a team that makes the playoffs almost every year. If that's not gratifying enough, then don't watch football. Again, Travis, I understand the sentiment, but I also get people being upset, people being disappointed. Like, it's part of the gig. But, I mean, I am somewhat with you in the sense that, yeah, we are a bit spoiled with how often we are in the playoffs, playing meaningful games in December and January. There are plenty of teams that don't know that experience, don't know that life. We most certainly do as Packers fans. That makes it sting all the more, though, when it's not there. You know, it's hard. It's real hard. That year when Detroit came to Lambeau and the Packers had to win to get in the playoffs, and then they didn't, and then it was over, the finality of that, and then not having the Packers to watch the next week when the playoffs start, when you're so used to that, that's harsh stuff. That's harsh stuff. So I get how people get kind of jaded by it, you know? Ian, what's up, man? What's up, Nags? I'm sure I wasn't alone today feeling heartbroken. However, we are winning this week and the Super Bowl. My boy Cowboy Coop is going to be used in new packages. Go Pack, go! Love to Cheesehead TV. Yeah, well, that's going to be a big key, is kind of unleashing Edgerrin Cooper as a pass rusher, I think, is a monumental kind of moment here, opportunity for the young man. Hasn't been given the green light a whole lot when it comes to rushing the quarterback in 2025. Certainly seemed to get that opportunity a little bit more last year, but holy Toledo, without Micah Parsons, yes, sir, it is time. It is time, to quote the late, great Kevin Green. Spartan Warrior, thank you for the super chat, man. Could all be part of the plan. The Bears were good last time the stars were aligned. That's a fair point. Packers were, at Soldier Field in the last NFC championship game that they won. Who knows? You're not wrong. I mean, who knows? But I like it. Jeezy baby, what's up, man? I am no coach, but why did the first two drives after halftime we go for kill shot? Just maintain drives. I still believe in this team still. Go Pack, go. Yeah, man. Look, I just talked about this with Andy Herman. I hope you'll all check out our conversation on Let's Talk Football. But look, there's no one to blame here, right? Matt did dial up a kill shot, and Jordan certainly liked the look and went for it. And Watson's got the guy beat. It's just a tough look when Love can't really step into the throw completely because Aaron Banks' guy comes off of him and hits Jordan as he's throwing it. And then all hell breaks loose, right? The interception happens, Watson gets hurt, and things go south from there. But look, I also remember a whole bunch of people who were upset at Matt LaFleur's approach against the Vikings, you know, or upset with Matt LaFleur's approach about anything, seemingly every week. You know, we all praised him in Detroit on Thanksgiving going for it on all those fourth downs. Took plenty of shots in that game, which connected that huge play to Watson up the right sideline. You know, so I can't complain too much, right, about that mindset and that idea. With that said, I did kind of echo your sentiments during watch party, like during the game itself. You're up by nine. By nine, you're up two scores. You've got the ball. It's 23-14. Put a long-ass drive together and twist that knife in. That's what I was expecting. But they went for the, we're just going to cut the head off approach. So my only thing is this. Like, again, it's the call. It's a fine call. They got the look they wanted. Just didn't execute. And that's going to happen, right? But I will kind of pull back and point out, time and time again, whether it was with Aaron Rodgers or whether it is now with Jordan Love, more often than not, when they try to dial up the kill shot, it hurts them or it doesn't work, or it at least is kind of medium at best. Like, they have not been very successful when doing this, whether it was 2 weeks ago against the Bears, whether it was, you know, against Carolina years ago with Aaron Rodgers, whether it was against the Eagles back on a Thursday night football game where end of half they try to go for a dagger shot because they're up by a couple scores, and then Big Dog of all people ends up getting beat for a sack strip fumble that puts the Eagles in great scoring position and the whole game changes there. End of the first half of the Dallas game this year when Walker gets beat, strip sack fumble. You know, they get the ball, Dallas gets the ball and scores a touchdown one play later. Like, it doesn't feel like the Packers really have executed very well on a consistent basis when going for a kill shot under Matt LaFleur. Something has bitten them almost every time they try. So maybe this is the wake-up call to say, you know what? We're going to possess the ball. We're going to go on this 7-minute drive. We're going to go short game. We're going to just matriculate it down the field and just twist that knife rather than trying to cut the head off. Maybe. Maybe. Or they might come out first play of the game in Chicago and go deep to Matthew Golden, which is entirely possible. Chip, what's going on, man? Thought Micah was this season's Reggie, when in fact he is actually 2025 Woodson. Let's go get Micah a ring. I like where your head's at. Of course, Woodson got hurt in, you know, the game, the Super Bowl championship. So it's a little different, but I like it. I like where your head's at. Hova, thanks again. It's sink or swim time for these guys. Go Pack, go. Most certainly is, especially for the youngins. Time to shine. Hey, Dustin, what's up? Headed back to Green Bay for the Ravens game. Best fish fry spot. Oh, man, it's a long way away, but you got to go to Menasha, to the Club Tavern. There is no substitute. I'm sure there are great spots in Green Bay, and I'm sure I'll get plenty of pushback here, but got to go to Menasha, got to go to the Club Tavern on a Friday. Let's go. Soder, what's going on, man? Are we entitled? Perhaps. Most of the 70s and 80s were a dumpster fire. Very different expectations for this group, as Randy Wright is not slinging it. I loved someone on the post-game chat or during watch party yesterday? Like, I think you and I actually had mentioned the 80s, and someone, I don't care about the 80s. Like, this team had Super Bowl expectations. It's like, yeah, but that doesn't mean, you know, A, that everything's over, and B, like, doesn't change how you should root for your team just because your expectations were in a certain spot, you know? It's still your team, supposedly. I feel you, Soder. I feel you. Mike Witt, thanks again, man. Could be worse. One of my coworkers is a lifelong Giants fan. Yikes. I mean, lifelong, how old are they? They at least watched them win a couple Super Bowls, take down the juggernaut that was the Patriots. I mean, that's pretty great. But yeah, right now, I mean, basically since they moved on from Coughlin, it's been a dumpster fire. No question. Has to be stinking. What a handle. Especially now without Micah, secondary cannot have the game they had yesterday. Oh, yes, sir. Talked about this quite a bit yesterday during the game, but also in the post game. Yeah, one of their worst performances. they have got to be better across the board. That's everybody. That's not just Nixon and Valentine, though they're the popular whipping boys, deservedly so after that contest, no question. But Bullard had a terrible, one of his worst games of the year. McKinney, two chances, two of them right in his hands to take the ball away, and drops them both. Second one, especially egregious. Yeah, the entire secondary has to be way better. N.A., what's up? We recreate Parsons in the aggregate, Moneyball. I mean, I ain't going to lie. That's exactly what I was thinking at the start here when I talked about in the aggregate. So, yes, sir. Correct. 100%. Braden, what's going on, man? The lion photo on X from Micah was motivating time for the green and gold to hunt and stack up more W's. I mean, anything to give this team any kind of motivation at this point is a good thing, right? Whether it is winning one for Micah or just going out there and trying to prove that you're not done, because so many people are going to write this team off after yesterday's game and all the injuries. Perfect opportunity to not only, you know, surprise some people, but also put the Bears away, man. You know, look, they still have a decent chance of making the playoffs, even if we win this game. But to take complete control of the division, it would be so beautiful. And think about this. I'm going to get going, but let me leave you with this. If there are Bears fans out there, and I know every once in a while, you know, they get trolls in the comments. So I know you're out there, you know, intermittently at times, probably this time, this week, because the Bears won, Packers lost, Packers have all these injuries. Suddenly you're kind of feeling yourself again, right? Even after we beat you in Lambeau. But now Saturday night's coming up, and the whole country is going to be watching nationally televised game in your house. And the Packers have lost a large swath of their most important players. Their best player in Micah Parsons, gone. Their best lineman probably won't play. Zach Tom, you know, probably not going to play. Their young playmaking safety, Evan Williams, who was a large part of keeping your run game in check last time they faced off, he's probably not going to play. Christian Watson, the deep threat, who killed you for two touchdowns last time, there's a chance he plays, but probably won't play. If you lose this game, you're going to have to deal with Packers fans all offseason talking about how, oh, I'm sorry, you had the chance to beat us at full strength and you couldn't do it. So the football god said, okay, let's give them a chance here in their house to take care of the Packers with all these injuries. This is probably their best shot. If you don't win this game, oh, brother, it's going to be hilarious. It's going to be so embarrassing for you. No one expects the Packers to win this game. Yes, they're favored by Vegas because they want your money. It's going to be hilarious. It's going to be downright hilarious when the Packers win. And you're going to be so embarrassed. I can't wait. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Really appreciate all your time, your engagement, your questions, your comments. As I always try to say, we really do appreciate each and every one of you making Cheesehead TV even a small part of your daily Packers routine. Thank you so much, everybody. Please do hit like, hit subscribe, tell your friends, tell your family. Cheesehead TV, we are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Thanks a lot, everybody. Have a great night. Go Pack, go.